between Chamishi in Parshas Pinchas and Sheni in Parshas Matos, we really have a very, very big problem when we think about it. Before Chamishi in Pinchas, so you have the story, you know, Bolak, the whole story with Bilam and Bolak and the Benois Moyov and Pinchas is Kanos. We know the stories. These are all stories on the way to Eretz Yisrael, starting in Chukas when we start with the 40th year. Everything has a very, very logical sequence. And it's a narrative. It's a narrative section which tells us about all the things that happened in the 40th year on the way to Eretz Yisrael. And that works very, very well all the way to Chamishi in Pinchas. Let's look at the parsha immediately preceding Chamishi. Vayavi Moshe el Hashem leimo, Yifkat Hashem el hakei aruchos lechol bosa ish al oida. Rabbanu Shem told Moshe Rabbeinu, look, you're going to die in the midbar. So Moshe Rabbeinu now says, look, we have to find a new leader. And Rabbanu Shem tells them, take Yeshua. This is all a very, very, very natural and logical part of what's been going on. And now suddenly in Chamishi, Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe Leima, Tzavetz Bnei Yisrael, Vamata Alem, Korboni Lach Mili Yishai. We all know the section, a whole long section on the Korban is the Musafim of the special days, Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Yomim Tovim, all the Musafim. Mapitam, why over here, Dafke, in the middle of the story? Let's see what happens, because Pinchas finishes with the Pasha of the Korbanos. The last Pasuk reads like this, Now Pinchas is finished. Kommt again Matos, and what do we learn? Nedarim shvuras vaydav Hashem and Moshe Rosh Hashanah l'vnei Yisrael lemer zeh ador shetziv Hashem ish ish ki yidon neder, and so on. That goes on till Sheni. What happens Sheni? Vaydav Hashem and Moshe lemer nekayim nikmas b'nei Yisrael me'esam midyanim. Without batting an eyelid, we pick up the narrative again. So here in the middle of the narrative, those of you who remember from Nosa, we had this problem. What Saita and Nosa are doing there in the middle of the narrative. We really have a repetition of the same thing over here. That suddenly in the middle of something which is completely a narrative section, you have the Korbanos, the Musafim, and you have the Pasha of Nedarim and Shvuas. Like, what are they doing over here in the middle of the narrative? And the truth is that Ramban and Rashi do exactly what I did over there. Rashi does not note it. Rashi isn't sort of interested, apparently, in telling us why these parshas are here. He does tell us why the second parsha, Saita, follows the first parsha of the Gezel HaGer, and why Nozeh follows Saita. But what these three things are doing over there, he does not talk about. And here also, he doesn't raise this issue, what are these things talking about? At least I didn't see that he raises them. So that's the same thing. What does the Ramban say? The Ramban is worried. What are the Korbanos doing here? I'm reading now the Ramban in Perichov Ches Posuk Beis. V'tam es bnei Yisrael v'amata aleim es korboni lachmi. Tzav es bnei Yisrael v'amata aleim es korboni lachmi. So he says like this: ki acharei she'omer lo eile techolei koretz. That we are talking now at the preparations of going into Eretz Yisrael. Tzivo lahashlem toros hakorbanos sheyeosu kein boaretz ki b'midbar lo hikrivu hamusafim k'mo shehizkarti b'seder emor el hakohanim v'chein lo nischayvu b'nesachim b'midbar k'mo shepirashti b'seder shlach lecha v'ach shochayiv boi ha'oretz la'asa shom hakohel hatmidim v'hamusafim v'mitchasam v'nizkehem. That's it. Ramban says, you know why this comes in here? It's true that it's a halacha section, and we would not expect it here, but there's a good reason. Because it's part of the preparation of going into Eretz Yisrael. Because in the Midbar, the Ramban worked out earlier in his Perush that they did not bring Musafim in the Midbar, and they did not bring the Sochim in the Midbar. You may remember the Sochim come at the end of Shlach. So vice versa, before that they didn't bring them. And now when they're going to go to Eretz Yisrael, they will be bringing Musafim, and they will be bringing the Sochim. And therefore, it becomes nageya lemaisa now to know what they have to do with their korbanos when they come into Eretz Yisrael, specifically about the musafim. That for the Ramban is good enough reason why it says the musafim over there. Then over here, predictably, he asks the same question: what about the mishpatim, the nedarim and shuas? Why do you have those over here? So the Ramban says, oh, he's got to tell us on that also. He says over here, Ubo ha-pasha ha-zois bekan. You know why we have now in the middle of the narrative, we have the nedarim and the shuas? Mipnei shehizkir nidre govoya, levad min nidreichem, v'nidvoisechem, lo'eloisechem, v'lo'minchoisechem, v'lo'nischeichem, v'lo'shalmeichem, le'el choftes lamates. That's the penultimate end posuk of Pinchas. So he talked about korbanos which you bring with nedarim. It says shehizkir nidre govaya. So we're talking about nedarim. Ukechol ha'yotzim v'vishal odam chayiv lekayim. Oma oid milvad eile hanedarim haniskarim yesh oid nidre hediot. Ukechol ha'yotzim v'vishal odam chayiv lekayim v'lasois kol asher osa al nafshoi. Uvekulan lo yachel dvoroi avol acherim moichnin loi. So he says that it's a logical thing to bring here, to start off with nidre issa and shuas, I guess it means, because as a sort of a carry-on from the last pasuk of the korbanos. The last pasuk of the korbanos was, Nochamol, Eile ta'asu l'Hashem v'mayadechem, you should bring these musafim on Yontif. But these are not the only korbanos you're supposed to bring. Levad min nidrechem, you know there's a din of nidre gavaya, to be another korban. Or nidvay sechem, to make an adova. La'ayla sechem, ula minchay sechem, ula nischechem, ula shamechem. So it's talking about nidre hekdash. Oh, so, emeile, you have a smichus apashias. Once we're talking about nidre hekdash, so we also talk about nidre issa and shuas, to tell us that just like over there you had the responsibility when you made a neder for Hekdash, you have a responsibility of making sure that this korban gets to the Beis HaMikdash and is brought there. So every nidre issa and also the shuas, you have a responsibility for keeping them. So the Ramban has really done what he had set himself to do. He says, I have an answer why you have the musafim and the Pasha of Nedarim and Shuas over here, because although we're in a narrative section, but that narrative section needed to be interrupted for the Korbanos Musafim and the Nesachim which were attendant on the Korbanos Musafim, because in the Midbar they had not been Noihek. So now, as part of the narrative that they were preparing to enter Eretz Yisrael, this is part of the narrative that they had to be told the Pasha of the Musafim. And as long as we were talking about the Pasha of the Musafim, it dragged along the Pasha of the Nedarim and the Shvuas, because it's related. It's a distant cousin, but it's related. Just like the Nedarim which you made, Nidrechem, Nidvoisechem, so therefore also there are Nidre Issa and so on. That's the Ramban's Mahalach. Was the Ramban delighted with these ideas? I don't know. Like, it sounds not very, it sounds a little like strange. Even the Musafim, it's easier to understand. Okay, like they needed to know this because the first Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael, they're going to have to bring Musafim. So they have to know that these are the Musafim of Shabbos and these are the Nesachim of those. So you have to know these things. I would say, because it says over there, you have to bring the Musafim Levad from the Nedarim, the Nidre Hekdash that you make. And say, oh, we're talking about Nedarim of Nidre Hekdash, I'll tell you about Nidre Issa also. That's a jump which is difficult to swallow, I think. I don't know why the Ramban, I don't know. Was this really the only answer which he could give? What I'm trying to suggest is that I want to suggest that maybe there are other ways of looking at the intrusion of the Musafim and the Nedarim and Shvuas over here. I think that one could explain it in a more broad kind of way, which makes the subjects with which these two parshiyos deal really at home over here, not just because of an accident of having to make up some halachas which you hadn't learned earlier, and not just because you're talking about these halachas, we're also talking about those halachas. It could be that there's a more be'etzem dika shayachas, a be'etzem dika a connection between the narrative of preparing themselves to go into Eretz Yisrael and these two parshiyos. First of all, about the Musafim. Let's think about them, and then we'll get to the Nedarim and Shuas of Matthias. I think that the Korbanos over there are very, very, very much a part of the narrative of the entry into Eretz Yisrael. Because we have to understand that life in Eretz Yisrael was going to be very, very different than life in the Midbar. In the Midbar, especially after the Machaneh had been set up, with the Mishkan in the middle. So we've talked about it so many times, that the whole focus of the living was on the Mishkan. Their living places were defined relative to their position, relative to the Mishkan. They can machne Yehuda, they can machne Reuven, they can machne Ephraim, they can machne God. Around the Mishkan, in the middle was the Machne Levir. So life was very much centered on the Mishkan. In Eretz Yisrael, it wasn't going to be like that. People are going to live all over Eretz Yisrael, up in the far north and down in the south, and they're not going to be aware consciously every day of the Beis HaMikdash, which is going to stand in their midst. It's not going to be that way. The fact is that the halacha recognizes. Maybe you remember, I don't think we talked about it this year, but I think in previous years maybe we talked about it, this idea that in the Midbar, the bosa taiva was osa. If they wanted meat, they wanted to make a barbecue, they couldn't just take an animal and shecht it. They had to bring it to the Mishkan and bring it as a shlomim. Bosa taiva, that means shechting an animal simply in order to enjoy the meat, that was something which they were not allowed to do in the Midbar. Why? Because the Mishkan was very, very close. But once they got into Eretz Yisrael, Bosa Taiva was going to become Mutter. A Yid lives up in Akko. He's going to schlep every time he wants to make a barbecue. He has to go and bring the animal to Yerushalayim and make a shlomim out of it. It's too far. So, practically speaking, the men had Oyle Regel three times a year, but the ladies stayed at home. And what was their shaykhus to the Beis HaMikdash? They're also part of the Tzibur. So I think the truth is that you see that the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to immortalize the Tzura of the Midbar even once they were in Eretz Yisrael. Because everybody knows or should know that Yerushalayim had a din of Machane Yisrael, and the Harabayas had a din of Machane Leviyah, and the Azor had a din of Machane Shechina. That means within the Mokom HaMikdash, the Har Habayis, and Yerushalayim as a whole, you had the moshul of what existed, what defined the entire Machane in the Midbar. In the Midbar, the Machane was Machane Yisrael, Machane Levir, and Machane Shechina, constituting and surrounding the Mishkan. That was what there was in the Midbar, and that was, for example, why it was possible to Asa Bosa Taiva. So in Eretz Yisrael, although the whole of Eretz Yisrael does not have a din of Machane Yisrael, but Yerushalayim does have a din of Machane Yisrael. That has to do with the allowed to eat the Kachem Kalim in Yerushalayim and so on. And the Har Habayis has a din of Machane Levir, and that's why certain tumas are already also on the Har Habayis. The tumas are Yajus Megufan. Machane Shechina, where even tumas Meisis also is only in the Azorah, but you had this concept of Machane Yisrael, Machane Levi, and Machane Shechina. So the Ribbono Shel Olam is telling the people over here in Pinchas, look, you're going to Eretz Yisrael just now. You're going to have to understand that it's going to be very, 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 very different. It's going to be very different. You won't be constantly facing Ke'ilu the Mishkan. You're going to be hundreds of miles away. And how is this Mishkan going to be a part of your life? Is your life going to be, continue to be, oriented towards the Oren and the Mishkan, the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kodoshim, the Mizbeach, all of that which has been the warp and woof of your life in the Midbar. That's what life was all about. So now what's going to happen once you get to Eretz Yisrael? So I want you to understand how significant the avodah of the korbanos is. Each yontif, you're going to have to be ma'ayan. Why these particular korbanos? What are they supposed to teach me? How do I internalize these this avodah that's taking place out there in Yerushalayim and make my Yiddishkeit develop and grow with the cognizance of these korbanos? So I would suggest that maybe the Pasha of the Musafim belongs in Pinchas because the Taka belongs there. Because the Yidden had to be taught, remember how important the Avodas HaKorbanos is, even when you're going to be in Eretz Yisrael. And in Eretz Yisrael, it's not going to be a physical reality to you as it was in the Midbar. You're going to go, months will go by, maybe you're not even thinking about the Beis HaMikdash, although you should in the morning when they bring the Tome, they're bringing it for you, you're part of the Tzibur. So I want you to know about the Musafim. I think that might be offered as a possible explanation of why Pinchas is over there. Now what about the Nedorim, the Nidrei Issa and the Shruas? Can we work out that this Pasha too, besides the Ramban's idea that it follows loosely at least the way the Ramban explained it, because we were talking about Nidrei Hekdesh and the last Pasha, so therefore Nidrei Issa and Shruas have a legitimate place over here. Maybe in addition to that, perhaps, there's no reason why we should describe it as an alternative. First of all, we're not in the business of arguing with the Ramban, and second of all, we have to ask ourselves, is there something more? And I think that quite tangibly there is something more. Because both Neder and Shvur have something which is very, very relevant to life in Eretz Yisrael to teach us. I may have talked about this before. I'll say it again quickly about Nedorim. What exactly is a Neder? A Neder is, I take a kikkah, take a loaf of bread, I take a piece of meat, I take a bottle of wine, whatever it is, and I say, Kainam kikkah ze'olai, I make this kikkah, this loaf of bread, or this piece of meat, or whatever it is, or even a person, I want to have that I should not be able to have hanor from you. That's called Nidrei Issa, and the halacha is that those nedorim are effective. That if I say, kainam is the technical expression for this Nidrei Issa, there are other expressions also, let's leave it simple. So kainam kikkah ze olai, so the kikkah becomes osa. And if I eat it, so then I'm over the lav of lo yachel devorai. That's what a neder is, and it's got huge ramifications all over the place. We don't need to go into the protem in the context of what we're talking. There is, I think, a philosophical question which is needs asking about nedorim. I say that this object should be osa to me, and now it becomes osa. So is the following sentence true? The Torah forbids me to eat chazir, the Torah forbids me to wear shatnas, and the Torah forbids me to eat a kikkah when I placed an issa on the kikkah. Is it part of the group? Does it belong there? And Lanius Daiti does not belong there. Because what the Torah asked when it asked me to eat chazir, so the definition of the chazir exists outside the issa. This is a chazir. And now the Rebbein Shimon comes along and says, you're not allowed to eat it. This is a beged of shatnas. And now the Rebbein Shimon says, you're not allowed to eat it, to wear it. So I know what shatnas is. The definition of shatnas is not the issa. The definition of shatnas is what it is. And the Rebbein Shimon says, wearing a garment which is made of wool and linen is bad for you. Neshama, I forbid you to wear it. What's osa over here by nidre issa? What is osa? The kikkah. What's wrong with the kikkah? It's got the best hashgachas in the world. Everything. Chofke, whatever you want. It's got it. So what's wrong? So I said, because I say it should be osa. What's the issa? What are you not allowed to eat? You're not allowed to eat a kikkah. You're allowed to eat a kikkah. It's kosher. So what are you not allowed to eat? You're not allowed to eat that which you said should be osa. So why am I osa to eat it? Because it's osa. That doesn't exist in Kol HaTorah Kulo. You can't be osur to do something because it's osur. That's not a good argument. If it would be something, so if the issa would be of nedarim that you're not allowed to contravene that which you said with your mouth, you said kikasei olai, so you mustn't be mevatel yodiva, it would be one thing. But you see in the Gemara says that nedarim is an issa chefza, that there's something chal on the kikker is becoming something also. Now what is it becoming? It's not hekdash. You didn't give it to the Beis HaMikdash, so it's not hekdash. It's not shatnas, it's not chazir, so what is it? Why can't they eat it? You can't eat it because it's osa. So you can't say it's osa because it's osa. So what is taka the issa? I think that that's a very, very legitimate question. Now, I think I have an answer. I cannot tell you that I'm sure that the answer is correct, because I don't think I've seen it anywhere. I've never heard it from anybody. I haven't seen it anywhere. But people with whom I shared it in general have been kind and have said that, sounds perfectly okay. But so take it as I'm offering it as a possibility, and check with somebody whom you trust and see whether you can accept it as being a possible runner for the MS. We know that when the Rav Shem created the world, so it stood, or he stood, in two forms of relationship to the world. L'Hashem ha'oretz u'meloyo. The world belongs to the Ribbono shel Olam. That's relationship number one. It's his. The second pasuk says, "Hashamayim shamayim l'Hashem v'oretz nosan livnei Adam." That he gave the earth to us. So whose is it? Is it Hashemayim? Is it Hashem Ha'oretz U'Milayah? Does the earth, the world, belong to Hashem, or did He give it to us? The Gemara asks that, and the Gemara answers: Kan lifnei brocha, kan la'achar brocha. Before the brocha, it's Hashem Ha'oretz U'Milayah. You're not allowed to touch. And if we pick up an apple and we eat it without making a brocha, so we're stealing. Because it's the Ribbono shel Olam, and he demands the payment of a brocha before you're mutter to eat it. That's the halacha, everybody knows the Shtickel Gemara. I think I've said before in these shiurim, I have a little problem, it doesn't really impinge on what I want to say at this point, but just to mention it, I don't know why there were mesakan brochas only on the hanoah of eating. I'm sitting just now on a very comfortable chair. It also comes from the Ribbono shel Olam's world, but I don't have to make a brocha to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or to request permission from the Ribbono shel Olam, look, I'm making the brocha, so please allow me to sit on this chair now. But before a brocha, I can't sit on it because Hashem Ha'oretz U'Milayah. That's not the case. So I don't know why we need this brocha for things that we eat, but we don't need this brocha for other things which we use and enjoy, but we don't need a brocha for it. I can't tell you why that should be so. But that's the case. So I think that the explanation of Nidre Issa is like this, that if I say Kainem Kikker Zeolai, I want to usher this kikker on me, what I'm saying is to the Ribbono shel Olam, I want to send this kikker back to the L'Hashem Ha'oretz U'Milayah mode. You were unbelievably kind. You owned the whole world, L'Hashem Ha'oretz U'Milayah, but you gave us a heter, derech hilchos brochas, to permit ourselves to use it. I want to say thanks, but no thanks. Legava this kicker. I want to return this kicker to a state of L'Hashem Ha'oretz U'Milayah. Whatever implicit heter there is, either through a brocha if it's a food thing, or even without a brocha if it's not a food thing, that you in your kindness tell me I'm allowed to use it, I am going to be mevater on that permission. For me, this is going to become an object of issa. For me, this is going to be an object like the food would be if I wouldn't make a brocha. I'm bringing it back to its mode of L'Hashem Ha'oretz U'Milayah, and therefore it's also to me. Now, if that is the way in the Dorim work, so that I can understand it. So now it's mamish like chazir and like shatnas. There's something wrong with it. What's wrong with it? The fact that it occupies a place in the world where what is true is L'Hashem Ha'oretz U'Milayah. And such a kicker I'm not allowed to eat. As far as I understand, that is how how Nedarim work, Nidreis. So I often wondered, and there was just amaratzes on my part, I shouldn't have wondered that way, I should have known. It's a Beferish Mishnah which gives the answer, but I didn't realize that at the time. I wondered when we were learning Nedarim in Yeshiva, it always bothered me, like, why did the Ribbono Shel Olam have to give us this Parsha of Nedarim? What's so great about being able to make something also? Let's say the Torah had been given without it. Would any of us lost any sleep at night and ask, hey, there's something missing in this Torah. There's no allowance for making things also. I mean, none of us make Nedarim. We're taught from childhood on, don't make a neder, say blineder, because God forbid, you know, we're all very weak and liable to give in to ourselves. So we don't make Nedarim. So we live very happily without making Nedarim. So what's the point about Nedarim? Why is that so important? Why did the Torah have to put that in the Torah? Why did the Ribbono Shel Olam have to be mechadesh, a halacha of Nedarim? So I asked that to one of the rabbis over here in Israel, and he sort of looked at me pityingly. He says, the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, Nedarim, Siyog Leprishos, that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us the Pasha of Nedarim in order to help us in our avoider of Prishos. All of us enjoy, I don't talk for myself, but I assume that many other people also enjoy eating and enjoy all kinds of luxuries. And we shouldn't be indulging ourselves as much as we do. Or some of us shouldn't be indulging ourselves as much as we do. But it's hard not to. Like, I like this particular food, so to tell myself, no, I'm not allowed to do it, I shouldn't be such a bad type. It's hard, I can understand it, and in theory and practice, it looks very, very delicious. So the Ribbono Shel Olam said, make a neder. Yeah, Nedarim Siyog Leprishos. I'm giving you an etzer to help yourself, not to be ivory. We are not eloquent enough to use that etzer. So therefore we are told constantly, don't make Nedarim. Ever simply, neder lechatz v'sholem, then anyone should make a neder etzer. But, yeah, that's what I'm there for. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, listen, I'm giving you in my Torah a help for precious. Now, could there be a more appropriate Pasha on the doorstep of Eretz Yisrael as the Pasha of Nidrei Issim? Here they're going, and before and later on in the Dorum, we're going to have all the Haftochos that the Ribbono Shel Olam brought in Malayim, Koltuv, Ashaloi, Boniso, Datn Kromim, Ashaloi, Notato. They were going to go into an Eretz Zovas, Cholov, Udvash. It was going to be from the Meraglim. They knew about these humongous fruits, and everything's going to be so wonderful and so luxurious. So I think that Nedarim could serve as a very, very useful little hint. Remember that Nedarim Siyog Leprishos. Don't dive into the Cholov and the Dvash. If it's flowing, that's fine. And if you want to take an occasional sip, that's also okay. But you have to know how to be a Porush. In the Midbar, you didn't need that. In the Midbar, you had the Mon. And I guess after a few initial tries, you realize that if you take more, it's gonna rot. So each person really had exactly what he needed, and not one crumb more. Now it's going to become a whole pasha going into Eretz Yisrael. You're going to go to Eretz Yisrael. You're going to have to learn a sugya of precious. And I'm telling you, I'm going to give you an etzer for that. Here's my Pasha's Nedarim, Nedarim Siyog Leprishos, and it's more than that. According to the Hesber, which I was masbir, that when we make a neder, we're putting that kicker back into the Lashem Oretzim Loyo mode, that fits so well into Eretz Yisrael. It's not hard in Eretz Yisrael to think about Lashem Oretz Umeloyo, because we're in the Paltrin Shel Melech. And therefore, the efficacy of being aware that Lashem Oretz Umeloyo is perhaps more potent in Eretz Yisrael than anywhere else in Chutz La'aretz. And therefore I think that mitzad the Nidrei Issa, this Pasha is an excellent hakdoma to coming into Eretz Yisrael. It fits in just like the Musafim of the end of Pinchas fitted in, because this is going to become a very practical need to know about the Musafim and the Nesachim. So in the same sense, Nidrei Issa is becoming a very practical need. They were very elechiyin, and for them, using the neder was a very, very important tool. Rambam, even in the Rambam says what a wonderful thing neder is. Because mish noder nedarim kedei lechoinen de oisav v'lesaken masav hares enoyer meshubach. That's a good thing. Ketzer gegon mishu hoyu zoylel. He liked to eat. Sure, that applies to all the listeners. Venoda benozir chiyotze benedorim elu kulan derech avoydel Hashem hem uvenedorim elu chiyotze ben omru chachomim siyot beprishus nedorim. Couldn't be better. So that's a very, very good hakdoma to coming into Eretz Yisrael. What about Shavuos? Shavuos is even more, and I've talked about this before. It's a very, very important yesod. What is a Shavuos? What is it, a magic word? What is a Shavuos? When I say, Ani Nishba, that I'm going to do this and this and this and this, what am I really saying? What exactly does the word Shavuos mean? Now, it's a long arichas, and there's no time for that. So just very briefly, I'll tell you what I think it's not. Because I always thought that a Shavuos means that I'm being toilet. The truth of what I'm saying, I say, I swear that I went to New York yesterday. Somebody questions whether I went. I said, no, I went. I swear that I went, Ani Nishba, that I went to New York yesterday. So what am I saying? So I'm saying that as true as the Ribbono Shel Olam is true, it's true that I went to Eretz Yisrael. That's what I thought it meant. I didn't have a mahalach, like why the Shoyla Shin Beis Ayin should mean that. But the way I see how Shavuos is used throughout Shas and so on and so forth, it is the parts which I know about. So what it means is, that's what you're saying. This is as true as that is true. Now, I fell away from that, first of all, because it doesn't explain the lesson. And second of all, because there's a Radvaz, I think I mentioned it before, a very, very important Radvaz. So he says like this. He was asked the following question. Shenishal shom b'misha omer, k'moish HaKadosh Baruch Hu emes, kein hu emes. Im zeh nechshav k'shvua eloi. If he says this thing, if he talks that out, if he talks out those words, if he talks out those words, this is as true as the Ribbono Shel Olam is true. Is that a shvua or not? V'kosav shom, do hazeh ovein pelili, v'korov l'kfira, v'roi ligoi b'oim hazeh, u'lelamdoi shehu oven, v'myeshna v'yasroi al-kocha. Beat him up, atshi yoshev. She'ein lehashvois amitas metzius yizborach lehamitas shum nimtso mehanivroim. V'afilu shahadova emes boro, afilu hochu hu roi le'oynesh, ki ilu mashve eved le'koinoi, v'oiloi le'nafshoi al-kocha. So, doesn't seem to be that Shavuos means that. If Radvaz says that saying this is so awesome. So I wrote this up somewhere, and I wrote there that I understand very well what the Radvaz says, but the emes is that the Rishonim is mashma like that. That they're saying this is as emes as the Ribbono Shel Olam is emes. So I think that those Rishonim don't argue with the Radvaz. And what they mean is like this. The Radvaz is arguing, is offering a philosophical argument that how can you say the Ribbono Shel Olam is emes? This is as emes as that emes is emes. Chas v'shalom. You had the Ramban, over there in Yisrael HaTzor. Says the amitzus of the Ribbono Shel Olam is not like any other amitzus, because the Ribbono Shel Olam's amitzus is objective. Everything else is subjective. Nobody can say this is as emes as the Ribbono Shel Olam. But it could be that those Rishonim who are mashma, that is at least part of the chaim of the Shavuos. What they mean is like this. It doesn't mean when he says the word Shavuos, let's say, and that implies that this is as true as the Ribbono Shel Olam. It doesn't mean in a philosophical sense both truths are equal. The truth of this is equal to the truth of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Of course that would be a terrible ovein, like the Radvaz says. But he only means it as a mashal. Look, the Ribbono Shel Olam is true, right? We all agree on that. No, this is also true. In other words, you can trust me that this is true. Yeah, as much as you assume that the Ribbono Shel Olam is true. You may not be the biggest philosopher in the world, but the Ribbono Shel Olam is true, right? And so you should know that this is also true. So I think that there the stricture of the Radvaz would not really apply so much, because he's not really comparing this truth to that truth. He's not saying that just like this is true, that is true. He's saying that that it's true. So what's the alternative? What else could Shavuos mean? So Sham Shmuel Hirsch has a halach, and he says, look, it's really a pasha in the Torah. We all know the pasha in the end of Vayera, when Ali Melech came to Avraham Avinu, and he put the seven kvosim levadam. So there was a big issue over there of seven kvosim. And then in the end it says, Vayikoshem Amokam Ahu Be'esheva, Kisham Nishpu Ushanayam. So it seems that the Shoyres Shein Beis Ayin, when used as a Shvua, is related to the Shoyres Shein Beis Ayin, meaning seven. So what does that mean? So what does seven have to do with anything? And in addition to that, we have to know that whenever we use I swear in Lashon HaKodesh, we say Ani Nishba in the passive. I am being something. It's not I'm doing something like in say in English, I swear, but something is being done to me. The true and actual translation of Ani Nishba means I am besevened. That's mamash what it means. The number seven is hitting me. The number seven, I am involved in the number seven. That's what it means, Ani Nishba. Being besevened, I make this in this statement. What does it mean, being besevened? So it means like this, because we know that the number seven talks about the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam in Teva. Shabbos is the seventh day. Pesach is 7 days. Sukkot is 7 days. Shmita is 7 years. Yovel is the result of seven times seven. Seven is the number which says that the Ribbono Shel Olam is involved in our world. So I think that when a person says, Ani Nishba, I am besevened, what he is saying is, I make this statement in full awareness that the Ribbono Shel Olam is involved in our world, and that he hears what I'm saying, and that he knows what I'm saying, and still I'm saying it, you can rely on it that it's true. That is what a shua is. Ani Nishba, I am besevened. I am saying this in the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that entitles me to be believed. I think that's what shua is. B'kitzur. So what can be better? We're going to Eretz Yisrael. And what's Moshe Rabbeinu telling them? He says, you know what? You know what a shvua is, right? We're learning now the Pasha shvua. So you know how chomer it is to be in the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam and to say a lie. No, when you go to Eretz Yisrael, the whole of Eretz Yisrael is one big shvua. I don't mean halachically. But it's Eretz Hashem, Hashem, like Yerubah, Mereshes Hashem, Vatachis Hashem. The Ribbono Shel Olam is in Eretz Yisrael. That's where the Ribbono Shel Olam is. And you're going to tell lies, or you're going to do this avera, you're going to do that avera. Whatever you do over there, you're doing in the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. There can't be a better hachona to enter into Eretz Yisrael than the Pasha of Shvua. So the way we've argued now is that both Neder and Shvua have earned their places in the middle of the narrative which deals with their going to Eretz Yisrael. Because in Eretz Yisrael, these are two very, very big yesoides that they have to know. They have to know the yesoid of Nedorim Siog Leprishus, and they have to know the yesoid of Ani Nishba, that when you're in the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam, you'd better behave accordingly.